How do you do? Only fools and the unwary walk on the thin ice of temptation, seeking forbidden thrills that plunge them into the dark, cold waters of regret. The man in this story yielded again and again to temptation, even though he knew the risk and the heartache that followed. He simply didn't have the power to resist until his heart and mind and life were unshackled. Unshackled, true life stories that light the darkness, is dramatized and produced in Chicago by Pacific Garden Mission. Many people look at the homeless and see someone who doesn't seem to care about anything. But God looks on the heart and sees the spiritual darkness, which is the real reason for the failure and despair. Now that's why Pacific Garden Mission has been here for street people since 1877, beaming the light of the world to people with an empty stomach and an even emptier future. The mission provides food, clothing, and shelter, even medical and dental care to those without means, all provided through the gifts of those who listen and care. More than 500 people find refuge each night at the old lighthouse. Not all of them leave with the light of the world, but those who do walk in newness of life and share that light with others, like the man in this story. And now for broadcast around the earth, here's program number 2,556 in the series Unshackled, the program that makes you face yourself and think.
I gotta have a fix, man. I'm dying.
Me too. I'm ready to rob the cashier over there.
Wait. Chuck's waving at us to come. He must have got some money from someone.
Let's go.
All right. You drive, Chuck. I'll hop in back.
I got the shit so bad I can hardly stand it. And my stomach. Oh, man, the cramps are killing me.
Yeah, same here.
Hey, Chuck. Take it easy, man. Don't kill us before we get the heroin, huh?
There's a red light up ahead, buddy. Slow down.
Whoa. Chuck, man. That car almost hit us. Don't run any more lights, okay?
Chuck, hit the brakes before you kill us all.
Broad is the way that leads to destruction, and there are many who go that way. The man in our story was among them. He was 22 years old, addicted to drugs and unable to change as he took that fateful ride. His journey, which had begun long before that, would take him to places he didn't want to go and cost him more than he could pay. This is the true story of Don Barry, right now on Unshackled.
I was born September 2nd, 1949, in Detroit, Michigan. My best friends were my two younger sisters. My brother, who was 3 years older than I, was never close to me. He and his friends made fun of me, and Dad and he would even hold a pillow over my face as their way of teasing me. There was never much love displayed in our family because, well, my mom and Dad, they fought a lot.
Why didn't you answer me?
I didn't hear you.
You didn't want to hear me.
I was busy.
You're always busy. You leave the children with Nana so you can enjoy yourself.
Well, I work too, don't forget.
I have no quarrel with your working. It's the other activities that are dubious, like your so-called friends.
Well, who are you to judge me or my friends?
I'm your husband. That's who?
Back off.
Oh, I could get so mad I could...
Go right ahead.
Don't think I wouldn't. If your grandmother wasn't here, I don't want to hear from her. She's always taking you aside.
Nana, my great-grandmother, lived with us. She jumped into every argument. She was the one who represented maternal love and security to me, so I called my parents by their first names, Pep and Hal. Their fights tore me in two. I had recurring nightmares, and Nana was sure I was possessed. When I was about 12, she died suddenly, and I was devastated. That summer, I began smoking. I also began snitching alcohol stashed under the kitchen sink, my way of escaping the pain. One day, my dad took me to an alley where we waited a long time. Eventually, my mother came out of a building with a man. I didn't fully understand what it meant at the time. My youngest brother had died in childbirth, and my dad told me that he was not the father. One day, I came home to find my dad loading his clothes in the car.
Hey. What are you doing, Hal?
What does it look like I'm doing?
Are you going somewhere?
I'm leaving for good.
Well, why?
I had it with your mother running around on me.
Well, does Pat know you're leaving?
No, she's at work. I'll be gone when she gets home. Let her figure it out.
Well, where are you going?
Upstate New York, where my mom and dad live. I'm going to start a new life. You want to come along?
Well, yeah. Can I?
Yeah. Go get your things.
It didn't take me long to realize I'd made a mistake. I enrolled in school, but there was no way I could adjust to the sudden change in my life. The emptiness and loneliness ate at me. I was afraid to tell my father, so one day I just called my mother.
Hello?
Hi, Pat. It's me, Don.
John! How are you doing up there?
Oh, I'm so homesick. I want to come home.
Oh, I'll come and get you, son.
You will?
Yes. Does your father know you want to leave?
Oh, do I have to tell him? He might try and stop me.
Well, never mind, then. I'll drive up with the girls and meet you.
Where?
In front of the chocolate factory at 8 o'clock in the morning, okay?
I didn't tell my dad. Just pretended to go off to school as usual and waited for my mom, who arrived on schedule. Oh, what a relief it was to go back to Detroit. As kids, we were always dropped off at a church on Sunday, but I didn't learn anything. Already I was deceitful and lied easily. My secret drinking brought other problems not so secret. Poor grades, physical sickness, fighting and stealing. My brother Chuck knew what was going on, and as the oldest, he tried to correct me.
I've been hearing things about you and your friends stealing stuff.
Yeah, it's a lie.
No, it isn't. I know you've been into the liquor under the sink. You better straighten up, Don.
Look, you are not telling me what to do.
You're turning into a little punk.
Oh, and I suppose you're perfect?
I get good grades. I work hard to help Pat. What do you do?
I can't work. I'm only 14.
Yeah, I think you're just selfish, Don.
I don't care what you think.
Hey, get a job and pull your own weight.
Yeah, I wish I could work. I need the money.
Well, I'm going into the Army after graduation. You can take over my paper route. And try not to ruin it.
After my brother joined the Army, I became the man of the house at 15. But I was completely irresponsible. I ran around with rebellious kids and drank a lot. I collected for the paper route, but didn't pay the company. I didn't respect any authority. I had no interest in achieving anything. Except to get high. I went to church with a girl I was dating, but I always felt like a misfit, except with my rebellious friends.
Hey, Don, what's the haps, man?
Oh, nothing, man. Hey, you got any money for beer?
Nah.
Bummer.
What's wrong, dude?
Barb and I broke up.
Yeah? Man, I thought you two were tied.
Yeah, she's too wrapped up in her church thing, man. That's not for me.
Yeah, there's plenty of other girls around.
Well, I'm dropping out of school.
To work?
Nah, I'm gonna join the Army.
Why you want to do that, man? They'll send you to Vietnam.
I don't care. I thought I'd found my calling in the Army. I did well for a change. I finished basic training with honors. But instead of Vietnam, I ended up in Hawaii, where my drinking increased. 3 months before my discharge, I began experimenting with drugs. I left the Army in 1969 and went home to Detroit. Foolishly, I looked up my old friends and was introduced to every drug that was available. Within 3 months, I was dealing drugs and addicted to heroin. I resorted to crime to support my habit, so I was in and out of jail, and my family was not thrilled.
What are you doing here?
It's my home too, you know.
Not anymore, you bum. We don't want you here.
Oh, you look terrible, Don.
Well, you know, things are kind of tough right now, pal.
Yeah, and whose fault is that?
You got anything to drink
around
here?
Don't give him anything.
Why don't you go into some kind of drug rehab, Don?
Because he doesn't want to change. He likes being a lowlife.
Okay, can I borrow some money?
Don't give him any. I gave him money to buy a car, but do you see a car anywhere? You bought drugs, didn't you? Didn't you?
Shut up!
Oh, Don, how could you do something like that?
Because he's no good. He just got out of jail, I hear. We know what you've been up to. The police came by and told us about your dirty deal.
You better leave, Don. I'm tired of this hassle.
Yeah, and don't come back. We disown you.
Heroin is a pitiless master. I saw friends die by overdose, yet I would lie, cheat, and steal to get a fix. The fix that could just as easily kill me. I became so ruthless that even I was shocked. The streets became my home, and nothing is more devastating than living on the streets, not knowing or caring what the day will bring. Then came the night we drove into the inner city to buy heroin and crashed. I was thrown from the back seat, out the side window, and struck my head on a fire hydrant. I was unconscious for 6 days. Chuck died in surgery, but my other friend wasn't even scratched. I lay in the hospital, and I knew I had to leave Detroit, or I would die. I left in November of 1972, but death went with me.
We'll hear the rest of Don's story in just a moment. Want to rediscover the real meaning of Christmas? Give without expecting anything in return. Throughout the year, Pacific Garden Mission provides clean but used clothing to street people. But at Christmas, we like to give them something new, a gift meant just for them. And we invite our listeners to help us brighten their day. Now, you don't have to spend a lot, a pair of gloves, a package of undergarments, socks, or a warm cap. Toiletries are always needed. If you can afford it, a shirt or slacks for men or women, and you'd be amazed how grateful they are. Children like clothing, a book or a toy to call their own. Pick any size. We have hundreds of people waiting, so it's sure to fit someone. You don't have to wrap what you buy, but you can send wrapping paper and ribbon. Volunteers will wrap each present, and counselors will make sure your gift fits the right person. Mail your gift to Pacific Garden Mission, Chicago, Illinois, 60605. Any questions? Our email address is unshackled@pgm.org. And please include your address.
I'm not proud of the 18 years that followed. Well, would you like to hear the highlights, or more accurately, the lowlights? Let's see. Arrested in Mississippi for stealing a Winnebago, but the sheriff and judge were merciful and let me go to rehab instead of jail. Norfolk, Virginia, I sold drugs to sailors. Drug running in Detroit led to 3 years in prison. A marriage in 1980 to another alcoholic that ended in divorce when I lost my job and our house because of my crack cocaine addiction. Here I was in 1990 with nothing, aimlessly wandering the streets.
You look like you could use some help, brother. Is there anything I can do? I'm the pastor of this storefront church here.
Well, I could use something, that's for sure. I just lost my wife, my job, and my home. I honestly don't know what I'm going to do.
Do you have a place to live?
I'm staying in our empty house. The bank foreclosed on us, so there's no electricity, no water, and no heat. But, hey, it's a roof over my head.
Have you eaten today?
I was just on my way to pick up something at the store.
Well, I'm Pastor Pete, and you're...
No, Don Barry.
Why don't you come inside, Don? We're still renovating, but we worship here tonight and Sunday. I'm always here if you need me, Don.
I appreciate your concern.
I could see you were hurting.
Yeah, to tell the truth, I've just been existing for a long time. I don't care if I see another sunrise or not. I mean, what's the point? I'm 40 years old, and all I've done is waste my life. And my family, they disowned me a long time ago, and now my wife is gone. I had a good job with Norfolk Shipbuilding and Dry Dock, but I lost that thanks to drugs and drinking. I'm a real mess.
Jesus can help you, Don.
Oh, Jesus doesn't want anything to do with somebody like me.
Yes, he does. He came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. And the Bible says there is none righteous. No, not one. We're all sinners in need of forgiveness.
Yeah, well, I tried to quit using drugs, but I keep coming back to them. Can God really help me?
If you ask him to and mean it, let me pray with you.
Being a cocaine addict, I was motivated by what I could get out of this man of God. He prayed with me and I left, but I went back to the service that evening because it was Easter time. The end of his message challenged me.
The Bible says in Romans chapter 10, verses 9 and 10, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved.
Amen. That's right.
For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness,
yes,
and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation.
Yes,
if you want to receive salvation today, pray with me. Lord, I agree with you that I have sinned, and there's no way for me to be pure in your sight except for the blood of Christ that washes away my sins. Thank you for sending Jesus to die in my place. I cannot comprehend that kind of love, but I hunger for your love and your forgiveness. I believe Christ rose from the dead and comes even now to live in my heart. Thank you, Jesus, for dying for me. Help me to live for you. Amen.
Amen. Praise God. Amen. Amen.
Afterward, I prayed to receive Christ. It felt as if I'd been cleaned with a fire hose when I walked outside that night. Oh, what joy I had. Then I went to work for a contractor who sent me on a job in San Diego. Well, there I slipped back into my old lifestyle and lost my job, so the welfare department helped me to get to Norfolk by bus. I called Pastor Pete.
God bless you. This is Pastor Taylor.
Pete, it's Don Barry. I just got back in town.
Don, good to hear from you. How's it going?
I'm glad to be back. I let temptation get the best of me.
Oh, I'm sorry to hear that, Don.
And I'm beginning to think I'm hopeless.
God never gives up on one of his children, Don.
Well, that's why I came back.
Did you go to a good church out there?
Well, I didn't know anyone or which one was right, so no, I didn't.
Hey, we're just getting ready to start a one-week camp with some of the youth groups around here. Why don't you join us? The Lord will help you resist temptation as you study his word.
Thanks, Pete. As I followed biblical teachings, my life began to change. I moved back into my abandoned house and read the Bible by candlelight. I walked 5 miles to church and stayed consistent in my walk with the Lord for months. Then I was ordered to leave the house, so I bounced from a rescue mission in Norfolk to the VA hospital and on to another rescue mission. Well, the next morning, I met with the pastor of the mission.
Sit down, Don. Tell me about yourself.
Well, I had such a feeling of peace when I entered this mission. I can tell that God has his hand on this place.
Do you know the Lord, Don?
Oh, I invited Christ into my heart almost a year ago. Mm-hmm. I had such joy at first. Then I went off to California on a job and didn't attend church or read my Bible. So before I knew it, I went back to my old lifestyle. I knew it was wrong, and I was so miserable, but I still did it, and I'm ashamed to say it. Why am I so weak, Pastor?
Well, every believer in Christ struggles with some problems. How to do what you know is right and not do what is wrong. The Bible says you have to walk in the Spirit of God and not make provisions for the flesh to fulfill the lusts thereof.
Yeah, but how?
And I'll study the Bible every day and pray. I'll tell you this, Don. You will never again have peace if you knowingly sin, because the Spirit of God dwells in you. God is holy, and he hates sin.
Yeah, well, I have a long way to go.
And we all do. But God promises to finish the work he began in you. He also promises to forgive if we confess our sins and turn from them.
So you mean there's hope?
Yes. You need to grow spiritually. And we offer a program here to help you with that. Are you interested?
Well, yes. Every morning, while everyone else was asleep, I went to the chapel to study the Bible. I couldn't seem to absorb enough of God's Word. I was overwhelmed with questions. One of the volunteer staff members became a mentor to me.
Good morning, Don. Well, I can almost set the clock by you in here reading the Word.
Well, I went to church with a girlfriend when I was a teen, but I didn't fit in, so I stopped going. Huh. If only I had read the Bible when I was growing up, my life would have been completely different.
Oh, absolutely. Psalm 119, verse 105 says, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet, and a light unto my path."
Yeah, but you know, even though I didn't know the Lord, time after time I was spared.
Mm-hmm. Jeremiah chapter 31, verse 3 says, "The Lord hath appeared of old unto me, saying, Yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore with loving kindness have I drawn thee."
It's true, J.D. I was arrested in Mississippi for stealing a Winnebago when I was broke and desperate for a fix, and the sheriff had mercy on me. I see now that was God's doing.
You're right, Don.
I was so stupid for getting into drugs.
You know, God can use what you've been through to help others.
Well, I sure hope so.
You ever heard the program Unshackled?
Unshackled? No. What is it?
It's a radio drama of people whose lives were changed by the Lord. When you've been steadfast in your walk with the Lord for a while, you should send your story to them.
Well, if it had helped somebody else avoid the path I took, I'd do it. My church asked me to help with Sunday school and the youth ministry, and that's when pride filled my heart. I thought I was too strong to yield to temptation, and about that time, I had an income tax refund of about $500 or $600. Saturday night came, and I went on a binge and blew it all. I didn't even go back to the mission that night. The next day when I returned, the pastor called me into his office.
I understand you missed bed check last night, Don.
Yes, I did, Pastor. I was out all night. I had an income tax refund and spent it all on drugs and booze. I'm pretty disgusted with myself, and I suppose you are too. I'll get my stuff together and leave right away.
Don, if you had lied and tried to cover up what you did, we would have asked you to go. But as long as you recognize your sin and seek forgiveness, God forgives you, and so do we.
How can you forgive me for doing something like that?
Because God forgives us, and he commands us to forgive others.
You mean I can stay?
Yes.
Nobody ever forgave me like that.
God did. At the cross. He loves you, Don, not because of what you do or don't do, but because Christ died for you.
How could I have done that to him? I mean, I know better, and I was doing so well.
Ah, that's pride talking, Don. Never compare yourself with anyone but Jesus. He's the standard, the measuring stick, and he's perfect.
Well, I'm sure not. How do I resist temptation the next time?
Only with God's strength. The world, the flesh, and the devil will always tempt you to do wrong. There are only two choices when you're tempted, Don. Give in and regret it, or turn to God and grow in faith. The Bible says he will always provide a way of escape. Memorize 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 13 and 31. They'll help you.
His compassion in spite of my transgression taught me about unconditional love. I'd lived all my life for selfish purposes, so I had much to learn. Not long after that, I met and began dating Linda, and I knew she was the woman I wanted to marry. But I didn't have a job, a home, or even a car.
You said you had a surprise for me.
Yep. Here it is.
You have a car?
Hop in. This was in the mission warehouse, and they didn't need it, so they gave it to me.
Don, what a blessing.
I can't believe how good the Lord has been to me. First, he gave me a job and a car, but that's not all. Jay and Reba helped me to get insurance.
Oh, Don, it's wonderful.
And now we can get married. You will marry me, won't you?
You know I will, Don.
Oh, Linda, I can't believe how good the Lord is. In November 1991, I left the mission and married Linda. 6 weeks later, I again succumbed to temptation. I stayed out all night feeding my lust for drugs and alcohol. I tell this at the risk of alienating those who have never yielded to this degree. I tell this because I learned an important lesson, one I never forgot when I came home the next day.
Linda, it's me. Open up, please.
Well, at least you didn't die of an overdose.
Hi, J.D. Where's Linda?
In the kitchen, crying. She said you withdrew all the money from the bank.
It's true. Man, I'm sick because of what I did.
You should be. The wages of sin is death, and sometimes the death of a relationship.
Oh, Don, how could you do that? I trusted you. We all trusted you.
I'm so sorry, Linda. I never thought about how much it would hurt you when I sinned. Please forgive me.
I forgive you, Don, but trust will take longer. You'll have to earn my trust.
Sin has consequences, Don. You will have to step down from your position as a youth worker.
Oh.
Your decision to sin will cause the name of Christ to be blasphemed.
I understand.
The one you really hurt when you sin is God, and those who you could cause to stumble. You need to get on your face and confess your sin and repent. Commit yourself to following him from now on.
I took J.D.'s advice, and God gave me complete victory. That was January 11, 1992, and I rejoice to say I never again took drugs or drank alcohol. It did take time to regain the trust of those close to me, but through that experience, I learned how much we hurt others when we sin. And because of their forgiveness, I learned to extend love and forgiveness to others. My relationship with my parents and siblings was completely restored. And a few years later, my church made me a deacon. On Easter Sunday in 1996, I preached the sermon at the mission where I was saved.
In September 1997, Don was diagnosed with leukemia. His illness brought a bond to our membership that is overwhelming. He had a bone marrow transplant in early 1999, but it was too late. He went home to the Lord on April 6, 1999, a faithful witness to the end. He never forgot the mission where he was saved and often came by to give his testimony and encourage the homeless. He loved to tell of God's boundless love and the power of Jesus Christ to change lives. And that's why he wanted us to share his testimony.
Listening friend, have you received the gift of salvation, purchased by the Son of God on the cross? The Bible tells us in John chapter 1, verse 12, "But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name." If you want more information on how you can become a new creature in Christ, contact us at Pacific Garden Mission, Chicago, Illinois, 60605. Our email address is unshackled@pgm.org. The telephone number in Chicago, area 312-922-1462. And visit our website at www.unshackled.org. Do you know someone who's struggling with a problem? Tell them about Unshackled, when and how to listen. And remember to let the manager of this station know that you're glad they broadcast Unshackled. Program number 2556. Unshackled is produced by Pacific Garden Mission to show through true stories that if your life is empty, it can be filled to overflowing. Take a moment and write today. That's Pacific Garden Mission, Chicago, Illinois, 60605. Need a good listener? Call Pacific Garden Mission in Chicago and talk with someone who cares. 312-922-1462. Someone is waiting for your call. 312-922-1462.